Us to the top of the hour, and you're listening to Power Hour with myself, Ayabonga Cawe. Now, the lack of adequate public transport has forced many firms and companies to provide transport services to their employees, either free or for less than the actual cost of getting them to and from work. In terms of the Income Tax Act, the service has been seen as a taxable fringe benefit in the hands of an employee, which means that employees who are receiving this benefit, once that benefit is valued and costed, would then have that offset against some of their taxes. So they would actually, in effect, be taxed for that service. Now, there has been some uncertainty around how this provision has been applied. And to give greater clarity on this issue, the South African Revenue Service, SARS, published two binding rulings this year, setting out how it intends to deal with this issue. Joining us on the line to explain these rulings, but also what they mean for employers and employees alike, we're joined by Louis Buerta, who's the Associate Designate for Tax and Exchange Control at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Good evening, Louis.
Hi, Bunga.
Louis, now we know that in many businesses, it's quite common for employers to provide their employees with free or low-cost transport services. We also understand that under such arrangements, these now constitute a taxable fringe benefit or on the part of the employees. What does this necessarily mean, and what impact is it likely to have, in particular on low-income employees?
Right. So, Ibonga, essentially, the rulings don't deal with anything new, anything that wasn't in the legislation previously. All that the rulings do is they provide clarity on the interpretation of certain provisions. So, previously, even before these rulings, it would have constituted a taxable fringe benefit. However, what the provisions in the Act say is that in the event, or at least what they say is that in the event where a employer provides a service, a transport service, in terms of which they collect the employees at their homes, take them to work and back, in such a case, yes, there would be a fringe benefit, but there would be no value on the fringe benefit. In other words, there's no adverse tax consequences then for the employee or for the employer, or for the employer.
But the converse of that surely would be if I have a direct service to my employees where I drop them off at their houses, would that be construed as a personal or domestic benefit for which I could be liable from a tax perspective?
So normally, yes, it would constitute a fringe benefit. And in fact, it does constitute a fringe benefit. The only issue is whether you place a value on the fringe benefit or not. Because if there is a value to be placed on the fringe benefit, then that means that there is an additional amount that the employee receives on which they can be taxed. Mm. Additional value placed, then they won't be taxed. So if you look at the provision, for example, it says certain transport services in other contexts would attract a taxable benefit on which a value would have to be placed, and that value would be determined by the expense incurred by the employer minus any amount paid by the employee to the employer. However, this provision, which they refer to as a no-value provision, so there's no value placed on the fringe benefit, this provision is essentially is an exception. And then what these rulings essentially have done, they relate to the issue, specifically, I think, the issue of whether employee must be dropped off and collected at their homes.
I see.
That's what the legislation, in fact, says. And it appears that this is where there was uncertainty. Mm.
But surely, I mean, Louis, you know, as someone, as a layperson reading this, in cases where the provision of transport to a central point is one that sort of doesn't have a value assigned to it, but if I'm working hours where actually these are sort of not regular hours for transport services providers, and I'm also placed at the same central point where, you know, these public transport providers congregate, I mean, it wouldn't make sense to leave someone at Noord taxi rank at 5 a.m. And I mean, wouldn't then the benefit be of actually just dropping someone in front of their house?
Yeah. See, the thing is, is that you have to look at it, I think, from what the legislation says and sort of what the concept, if I can call it a concession or the interpretation, that SARS has now given. So what the legislation says, and if I can tell you just exactly what it says. So it says that no value shall be placed on the fringe benefit in the case where it is any transport service rendered by any employer to his employees in general for the conveyance of such employees from their homes to the place of their employment and vice versa. Mm. Now, if we just look at the two rulings a bit more carefully, just to give you some context as well, the one ruling is a binding private ruling. The one ruling is a binding general ruling. Mm-hmm. A binding private ruling is the case where a taxpayer, any taxpayer, an individual, a company approaches SARS, and he or she or the company then asks whether they say, well, we want to implement a specific transaction or we want to do something specific, and we want certain tax consequences to follow. Mm. And that's in that case. So the binding private ruling applies specifically to the persons who applied for it. And then what seems to be the case is it's possible that maybe this is something that SARS has picked up a lot, or maybe it's something that thought it was important, and then subsequently they issued the binding general ruling, which applies to all persons generally, not only to the parties in the binding private ruling. And from that it seems that what was at issue is the whole issue about homes, because the provision that I was just reading to you, they talks about conveying employees from their homes and so on. And so what the ruling seems to then recognize is the fact that, well, because people, you know, sometimes because of the way they live, sometimes they live, you know, maybe in villages or far off where the roads and the infrastructure isn't great, it would be impractical to now say, well, for the employers, you know, conveyance service to go to their homes, you know, which might take more time and so on, just so that you have a fringe benefit which attracts no value. Mm. And so essentially what SARS is saying, well, no, if the employee is collected at a place that is en route to their place of employment or en route to their homes, then it's fine. And in that case, that the fringe benefit will attract no value, no tax, no adverse tax consequence. Mm.
Lastly then, Louis, I mean, one of the other labor institutions that would actually have to align to this is sort of the institutions around collective bargaining. And I mean, what likely difference is this new sort of clarity around the interpretation of that provision? What impact is it likely to have on the collective agreements in sectors where transport arrangements like this are crucial? I mean, I think of the security sector, I think of farm work, I think of retail. Is there some likely knock-on impact in terms of the kind of agreements that that are signed into?
Well, depending on the context, and obviously, you know, there were different situations would arise and so on, but you know, obviously, you mentioned the issue of workers' safety and so on, and which is crucial and important and so on. But I think the important issue here is that it appears that SARS is making a concession, if you will. So in other words, what they're saying, you don't want a situation, you know, where an employee has to, you know, endanger their life or their person and so on in order to get to a certain point where they're collected, right? But, and obviously this is something which the, you know, the employer and the employee can, you know, resolve amongst themselves. But what it does say is that where it is practical, you know, say for example, if you have a group of farm workers, I'm just using an example, right, who potentially could meet, you know, who maybe live 500 meters away, for example, from the nearest toll road, for example, where you have a group of employees and so on, you know, it's a group of people, so, you know, at least it's not one person alone. We have that in place, it might in that instance be a benefit, because then, you know, the employer could put an arrangement in place and say, well, we'll collect you from X spot. They don't have to go all the way, for example, where it's practical. So I think what it does, I don't think the intention here, and must be seen in the tax context, the intention here is not just to give employers, a way to say, oh, well, you know, we're not going to, you know, pick you up from your home anymore. Rather, I think it is to say that where it is practical and where it might work better for both parties for the service to collect employees at a central point or at a central collection point, that can happen without additional taxes having to be paid, which is beneficial. So okay. In other words, it creates some scope, I think, for alternative arrangements.
Okay. Louis Puerta, unfortunately, we ran out of time there, sir, but thank you very much for taking time to join us this evening. We really appreciate it. That was Louis Puerta, who's the Associate Designate Tax and Exchange Control at Cliff Decker Hofmeyer Attorneys. It's now...